The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason. You know, we just heard from Frank LaRosa, Golf to Go. I just got on Facebook a friend request from Frank LaRosa. How do you know those are real and they're someone's not getting hacked? And should I, do I want to be friends with Frank LaRosa? I think I do. He's a good guy.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I hear his voice enough on air. Like, I don't know. Like, I. Yeah. I'm just saying, I got dreams and nightmares of that guy's voice, man. I hear it so much on our air. No, I love you, Frank.
Yeah. Frank's a great guy. And, you know, he's a heavy hitter and he's in halls of fame and stuff. And it says Frank's pictures. And I look and there's like two pictures there. And I'm thinking, I don't know if this is really Frank LaRosa. He would have more than two pictures on Facebook, wouldn't he? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Help me out, Frank. I'll text him. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Be like, yeah, exactly. He needs to text you and be like, yeah, it's really me.
Yeah.
Whitey. And so.
All right. Yeah. We'll figure that out. We're figuring out so much today. I want to ask you something before we get to the phone. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Something comes up every so often from fans, and I think it's Willie, and I apologize if it's not. No, it is Willie Bowen. Having Murray and Barnes on the floor at the same time isn't working. There is this notion that, oh, the Kings don't have like a real three and a real four. Do you think that's an issue, or is that just something that, you know what, it's not a big deal now in this era of quote-unquote positionless basketball?
That's a good question. Both guys listed as 6'8". You know, neither one of them are a traditional four.
Right.
You know, like they're both threes, really, right? At least Harrison Barnes is for sure. I think size and athleticism is something we're lacking. You could say Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes, yes, but I look at the backcourt. You know, Kevin Huerter is listed as 6'7". I don't know what his wingspan is, but, you know, you look at a guy like DeJounte Murray we're talking about, who has a 6'10 wingspan. So that shrinks the floor, the passing lanes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I could see, you know, like Trey Lyles is really only our only 6'10 guy, you know?
And
like
he's a stretch big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And so, I don't know, man. It's we got some holes in terms of being a championship contender. We have some holes that we need filled. I still think on our best days, we're good enough to make a deep playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're so wildly inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen them play well against the Denvers, the Lakers, OKC. We're fine against those teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should be fine against Portland, right?
Yeah, that was a strange one. But the Kings, if you look at the numbers, they're a solid rebounding team. Defensive rebounding percentage, I think now they're third. They fall into third. They were number one. So if you're rebounding well, and obviously Domas takes most of the rebounds, then who cares if you have a traditional power forward or not? And the game has changed to the point.
Yeah.
It's so perimeter-oriented. I understand the thinking, but I don't know how current that thinking is, frankly. So obviously it's nice to have a little size on the bench. Or some, you know, somebody like that that you can bring in when you need them. But I don't know how important it is anymore. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jay has been hanging on. Jay joined us here on Sactown Sports. Hey, Jay, what can we do for you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for hanging on.
What's up, Jay?
Just had a couple trade ideas, and I wanted to start off by saying, no pun intended, but Kevin Huerter is hurting this team. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. He hasn't shot well, obviously, last playoff run. And he hasn't been really consistent this year either. So he's definitely going to be on the chopping block as far as trades go. We can see, you know, what we can, you know, maybe get for him in a package. I heard you guys talking about, you know, DeJounte Murray. But someone that I'd be more interested for this team, especially when it comes to the perimeter defense, is trading maybe like Davion Mitchell and Chris Duarte for someone like Alex Caruso. He seems to have a little bit of a better three ball than Murray. He's someone that can come off the bench and bring that intensity. He's, you know, has playoff championship experience, and he's a hustle-first player. Imagine putting him next to someone like Malik Monk leading the bench unit. I think that our bench would automatically go up just by doing something like that. Just like a little small, sneaky trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily an A-list star. you know, but someone who can add tremendous value to our team. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Thank you, Jay. I think Kyle and I both said we like Caruso a lot. We like that idea, right, Kyle?
Yeah. I would love Alex Caruso on the team. You know, I think he's a tough, heady, strong, defensive-minded point guard who can knock down some shots. But I think the asking price is going to be high. Like, what are we giving up? You say Duarte and Davion. That's not going to get it done, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's, especially when you got the Lakers and all these other teams involved. It might take a couple of picks. And are we really doing all that for a bench guy?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. give me DeJounte Murray. And I understand, you know, and I'm hearing, you know, what the caller is saying, but he said, in his opinion, Kevin Huerter is hurting the team, but yet then he offered up a trade package for two of our bench guys to get another bench guy. You know, mm-hmm. I think, you know, everything Alex Caruso does, I think DeJounte Murray can do defensively as well, too. So, and he's longer. And so I don't know, man. I like Caruso. We both like Caruso. But if you're Sacramento, how many holes do you need to fill? What do you think, Whitey? Do you need another starter? Do you need another bench person? Do you need two bench people? Like, how far off are we talking with the Sacramento Kings team right now? Because I think the way I'm listening to the fan base, we're trying to fill all these holes at once, and I don't know if that's possible.
I think in a perfect world, you'd get a 3-and-D wing and you'd get a big guard. You know, but that's, mm-hmm. you know, to get two of those guys that are really going to help you, that's hard to do. When I look at the roster, that's my impression. It's like, wow, those guys would really help you. If you can get any of that, I think, you know, great. I like Caruso a lot. We've talked about that. Caruso, yeah. to me, is a guy that's going to – might not have as much impact because he's going to come off the bench. I don't – is he – he's probably started here and there, but I think he's a bench guy, and I think Murray is a starter. Yeah. So, both those guys are going to help you, but Murray is a guy that you'd probably have more – you'd get more impact from. As far as Huerter, you know, the other thing is this, and if we're being brutally honest here, Kevin Huerter has not played well. He's not played as well as he has in the past. So when it comes to trading him, you know, people, again, aren't, you know, they're not burning up the phone line asking for him. You know,
That's
another unfortunate thing about the way he's played this year. If you wanted to move off of him and package him in something, he doesn't have the value that he will have if he plays better or that he would have had last year. That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah, and that goes back to, you know, our conversation we had is, what assets do we have that these teams would want? You know, especially from a player, we would have to sweeten the pot with, mm-hmm. like, let's say Alex Caruso. To really get in on, I got to imagine it would take two first-round picks mm-hmm. based on the market, the competition, our players that we would offer, what Chicago's looking for, like, I think it would take at least two first round. And are we willing to do that? For like the asking price for all these guys are going to be really high.
Just to note, Caruso makes $9.5 million this year, and then he has a partially guaranteed $9.5 million for next year.
Yeah. He doesn't make nearly the money of Murray, but he doesn't play as much. He helps you, but not as much. And I, you know, the thing is, it's hard to know what the demand is for these guys. It looks like, based on what's been reported, and you may, Kyle, you may be talking to more people that are in the loop, but based on what's been reported, Caruso is probably going to be very coveted. So
yes,
there's going to be a lot of people that want him. Murray would be too, but I like the point you made earlier. If you're the Kings, and if there is somebody they like, we don't know if they like Murray as much as we do, but if they do, you want to jump in and just get it done before other teams get involved, right? If you have the chance to do that with a team you've worked with, like, hey, let's get this done. What's it going to take? You know, and then we both move on. So let's just get this done before we get to the deadline. If you can, that's great. But of course, sometimes teams want to wait to the deadline because that's when they can get the most for players.
Yeah, that's when the value goes up. But, you know, to Caruso's, Lakers are involved in him, supposedly.
Yeah.
The Sixers. Yeah. Could use him as well. And so, like, to me, Caruso's, you know, when you're a championship contender, he can help put you. Looking at Boston, he's like the Derek White sort of, you know, he could be that role, even though Derek White's a starter. Caruso's that heady defensive point guard who can knock down threes. I think he's shooting like 44% from three or something like that this season. So, no, I think the competition would be very high, especially at that salary, too. I mean, everybody can afford him now. And so, yes, it's going to be a tough call if you're Monty McNair.
The reason I would like Murray more than Herter, too, excuse me, more than, that was a Freudian, more than more than Caruso is because I do think the way it looks, again, I'm presuming to know how they think, and this is my opinion, just mine, I do think if you could move off of Herter and replace him with someone that you feel is more reliable, that would be good, too. So you could kind of do a couple of things if you brought in a guy that can start in the off-guard role.
Right.
Whereas Caruso's a guy that comes off the bench, and then you still would have potentially an issue with Herter. Either you got to move off of him or you got to hope he gets better. But that's just my opinion.
No, you're right. And I just think, too, when you look at it, and I understand Kevin Herter is struggling. When he's right, though, which he was last season, he's not the issue. It's, you know, when he's knocking down shots, right now the problem is that when he's knocking down shots, nobody's talking about his defense.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he's not knocking down shots right now is what's killing us. And so, I don't know, man. We got, what, 6 weeks, I think it is, until the trade deadline, February 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they'll do something. It may not be the DeJounte Murray, Levine, big name, but I think they'll do some minor tweaks.
Yeah, I think they recognize the need. They recognized it long before we did, and they're already working on it. When we come right back, you want to talk about where Russell Wilson could be headed next?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, because it looks like it's all over in Denver. Where Russ could be headed next. Also, more of your calls, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Got any thoughts here on what the Kings should do, need to do? What do you think of our DeJounte Murray idea? We'd love to hear from you here. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Countdown the end of the year with us on Sactown Sports.
Sunday, we close out 2023 and usher in 2024 with a big doubleheader. First, the San Francisco 49ers look to regroup as they battle the Commanders in D.C. Then it's the Kings and Grizzlies from Memphis.
49ers at 10, Kings at 5 on New Year's Eve on your home of the 49ers and Kings, Sactown Sports.
Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Here's a trade question for you, Kyle Draper from Beamer, Beams, or Beamly on the YouTube chat. Thanks again for being with us and your participation, be it on the phones, text line, the chat. Question is, okay, since both have been thrown around, would you guys rather have Levine or Donovan Mitchell? Kyle Draper, what do you got?
But that's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
Like Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I like Zach, but Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about Donovan Mitchell, he has a pulse. He has a heartbeat. Like, you could tell he's playing hard and he's giving it his all. You know, Zach LaVine, who I love as a player, there's some question marks about. Give me Donovan Mitchell all day and night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alex says DeJounte and Patty Mills for PG and Duarte Keon.
Huh?
Huh?
PG?
What? Who's PG?
Point guard Duarte?
I don't know. I was like, I didn't know who it was, and I thought, I don't know who that is, but when I say it, Kyle will know.
And I'm like, huh?
Does he mean?
Davion, he says, Davion. Yeah, Alex came back and says Davion.
Davion. So wait, it's Davion.
So PG point, yeah. Duarte slash Keon for, I don't know that the Hawks are going to jump at that offer, Alex. First of all, they're going to know.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
They're going to wonder, well, what is this PG? What are you talking about? Who's Paul George isn't on your team.
Is Paul George on our team now? Oh, man. We've reached that hour. That
are they going to think PG is Fox? I'm confused. What's going to happen there?
I don't know, but as I said.
The trade offer, Monty, since the text. All right. Duarte, Keon, and PG.
What if it's like Whitey's Xander Bogaerts card where you could rip it up and inside it might be point guard Fox or it might be point guard Keon?
Yeah, it's up to you guys or what's behind the curtain. Yeah.
Alex, jeez.
That might be a good point at which we can move off of the trade conversation. For now, I know we'll be back to it. And thank you, Alex. As I said earlier, you know, we don't agree with all of the suggestions, but I love the effort. Yeah, appreciate the effort. Speaking of questionable trades, boy, I don't think that Denver Bronco trade for Russell Wilson's looking very good right now, Kyle.
Yeah, that is a disaster. I don't even know what to say about it, to be honest with you. I wish Russ the best, but it looks like it's over already.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we knew that, right? Like, and he salvaged his, you know, they went on that 5-game winning streak, but we knew Peyton wasn't Peyton's guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, but what do you think about that whole mess too?
Yeah.
Like the way they're handling it, you know, benching him. Like, you can't tell me who's getting to start.
Jarrett Stidham.
That Jarrett Stidham's better than Russell Wilson. Gives you a better chance.
I know. If you're a Bronco fan and you're invested, like, well, you know, and I know they've won Super Bowls, so they have high standards.
Yeah.
But, like, well, wait, we won games and we still have a chance to make the playoffs, and now because you don't want to pay this guy that we had to give up so much to get, you're going to play another quarterback? I mean, that would be that would be a little confusing at the very least. If you're a Bronco fan, you play to win the game.
Yes.
Right?
And I know they lost against New England, but it wasn't Russell Wilson's fault. Like, he had 103 quarterback rating, mm-hmm. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, 238 yards, 68% complete. Like, it's all about money and spite and things like that. Like, this is a bad look for Sean Payton. And Denver, I think.
I was going to say the exact same thing. It's a bad look, but this whole season for them has been just one bad look after another, from Sean Payton blasting Hackett to now this. Yeah. That's just the way this season has gone for them. To those stupid white helmets that are snow-capped helmets. They're just white helmets. They're not snow-capped. Anyway, here's where Russ could end up.
Just wanted to get that off your chest.
Well, it's like a white helmet.
I know,
okay.
That's been bothering you, huh?
Yes. It's our new snow cap helmet.
Snow cap.
It's just white. Yeah. Potential landing spots for Russell Wilson. So, Kyle, if you're Russ here, pretend you're Russ here, okay?
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, all right, Russ, here's where we think we could get you next year. Washington Commanders, what do you think? We don't know who the coach is going to be.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, we're not sure who's the coach is going to be, but it might be Mike Tomlin, and it's Pittsburgh, baby.
Yeah, I'd take a look at that. Mm-hmm. I don't think Pittsburgh is that far off. They've been competitive.
Yeah, they would be clamoring there for you to come in and save them.
Is it done already? Like, are we closing
probably
the chapter on that?
Let's see. You know, Kenny Pickett hasn't lived up to the billing. How about I could get you in, where you are right now. How do you like the ATL? Because they could be looking for a quarterback.
Yeah. They're not that bad. They're not that, you know,
in that
7-8.
Russ, in that division.
Right.
If you win six games, you got a shot at it.
Right.
6-11 and you're like playing for a division title in the last weekend of the season. Yeah. And then the other two, this is, again, according to NBC Sports, New York Giants and the New England Patriots.
Ooh. I actually like the Giants as a possibility.
Yes.
You know, in terms of roster, you got Saquon there. The Giants, you know, they're just a year removed from, you know, a playoff berth.
Yeah.
I like the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a good fit for him. There were rumors of the current Giants front office poking around Wilson to see if he might want to go to the Giants prior to that trade. But Russ at the time only wanted Denver. So the Giants have been, if this is true, Giants have been interested in him for some time. You would have Russ playing quarterback for the Giants and Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback for the Jets.
Ooh. Can Rodgers can handle New York. Can Russ handle New York?
I don't know.
I don't know if he could.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could.
He needs better receivers.
I don't hate that move.
Yeah
he needs better. But I don't hate that move at all. New England would be a no. just because I think, first of all, Belichick, I don't know.
Isn't that so strange to think? Right. Who's going to be the coach next year?
Who's going to be there?
We don't know. What? Yeah.
Plus, aren't the Patriots probably going to draft a quarterback this year with that top three pick?
Well, if they keep winning, I don't know. Like, they won this past week, you know. They're hurting themselves when it comes to, you know, one of those top three QBs.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe if Belichick ends up staying there again, although there are indications he won't. But if he does, maybe it's a matter of, hey, Russ, come in here. And, yeah, we drafted a young guy, but he ain't going to be ready for a while. And we want you to be, you know, like what we tried to do with Cam, but that didn't work. We think it can work with you. But you don't want any part of that if you're Russ, huh?
Nah, I don't know if I want to play for Belichick. I don't know, especially the way he is right now. You know, I question just his coaching decisions, you know, the whole Patricia thing last year. And I don't know. I think he's lost his fastball.
Yeah.
If I'm Russ, it depends, right? Does he want to play football? Like, or has he reached a point where he says, you know what? I'm okay with walking away from the game, because I wouldn't want to be on a team that I couldn't compete. When you reach the level of Russ has, you sniff the winning, won the Super Bowl. I don't know if I want to go to a 3-13 team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know if I would want that.
My guess, I don't know Russell Wilson. My guess is he loves being, you know, the star, and he would love being the savior, just like Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. That would be a great opportunity for Russell Wilson. To go in there. If he looked at it and said, you know what, I think we can make this work. For him to go to the New York Giants and to get them in the playoffs and be the savior of the freaking New York Giants, I would think that idea, if he thinks it's at all reasonable and realistic, I think he would love that idea.
That would be a Hollywood ending, like a Broadway play, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Win a Super Bowl, you go to Denver, flame out.
Yeah.
The coach, you know, that would be a stick it to you, Sean Payton kind of move. Why not? Like, and you got Saquon there, you know, you got a running back, you got, you know, hopefully a line. They upgrade the wide receiver position. Why not?
All right.
Would they want him though?
Well, apparently, like I said, apparently they did a couple years ago. They've been interested for a while.
Yeah, but you're paying Danny Dimes or not? Who's your guy? Who's the quarterback?
DeVito?
He just got pissed. No,
not DeVito. Who got hurt? I'm drawing the blank right now. Dan Jones. You paying Dan Jones? Yeah. You know, $40 million a year. Like, are you just going to eat that, know, and take that hit? So,
Time to move off of him. Time to move off of Danny Dimes. Russ to the rescue in the Big Apple. What a year it's going to be next year in New York. This Aaron Rodgers thing is weird. Have you heard about that, where he says he got activated or put on the roster? He's not going to play.
Yeah.
And he says, I didn't want them to put me on the roster, because with him on the roster, they had to cut somebody. And he said, I didn't want that. And he said, I called the guy they cut, and I said, this wasn't my idea. So it's like, you know, it's always with Aaron Rodgers, there's just the weirdest drama.
And I don't know if I could trust what he says.
Right.
You know, it's like, why would the team do that? Like, if you didn't want to, you know, get put on the roster, like, it's always something. Mm-hmm. It's always something not having to do with on the court or on the field.
Yep.
That's the problem right now with Rodgers.
You know, we've talked about the MVP race. Could a guy who's only played 4 games be the comeback player of the year? We have that for you when we come back and head down the home stretch here. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
We have incredible news for you. Kyle Draper, I know you've had NBA TV on. If you have the halftime score, why don't you go ahead and lay that on us?
You want? I can't believe it. At the half, I was going to bring this up to you, Whitey, because I'm sitting here in disbelief watching it. At the half in Boston, the best team record-wise in the NBA, the Boston Celtics, 47, and the 2-28 Detroit Pistons, 66.
What?
That's right. 66-47. Go Detroit, baby. I've never rooted this hard for the Detroit Pistons in my life, but it has been fantastic watching this game.
Yeah. Cade has 22 in the first half, and the Pistons, of course, are trying to snap their 27-game losing streak. And I got to say, yesterday, Kyle, when you were traveling and we had Phantom in and we had Emil in here and Kyle, and they were all saying, oh, they'll beat Boston. And I was like, what are you talking about? What's wrong with you? And here we are, not a done deal yet, but 66-47.
Beautiful.
The Pistons. Well, they look good tonight, Kyle. The Pistons look good tonight.
They look good. Boston looks bad. No Jaylen Brown tonight. But so what? It doesn't matter. They got Sam Hauser, right? They got Peyton Pritchard. That's what I was told, you know, when the Celtics came into Sacramento and beat the Kings. Good for Detroit.
Cade Cunningham has a plus 28 in the first half. It's remarkable.
Pretty good.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's just going to make that, when they lose, that hurt that much more, though, you know?
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. You know, as you probably know, in their last game, they almost beat the Nets. And so as the end of the, towards the end of the game, they were ahead, and Pistons fans were chanting, "Let's go, Pistons!" And by the end of the game, they were chanting, "Sell the team!" So they've been through it. Man. I had no idea they'd be this bad.
Got to watch the second half now, though, right? Like, I got to see how this unfolds here, because this might be like the most improbable win in NBA history.
Yeah,
tonight.
Yeah. We also have football tonight, right? We have the Jets and the Browns, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll take your word for it. I genuinely don't know.
And that means comeback player of the year candidate Joe Flacco is in action tonight. Ooh. Can he be an MVP candidate even though this is only his fifth game of the year? What do you think, Kyle?
I don't know about that, but I will say – I saw the numbers over the last four games.
Yeah.
And he's like number one in everything.
Yeah.
Yards, touchdowns. Like, it's like this dude was on a scrap heap.
Right.
Like, there's a video of him, you know, on a plane flying to go to Cleveland, you know, to sign the deal or whatever. And I think he was sitting in coach, somebody said, or something like. It's like... If the Jets only had Joe Flacco, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
But the Browns, Whitey, they were solid. They were.
Yeah.
Not self-content, but Watson, Dorian Thompson, Robinson, Walker. Like, they've had a number of guys. And the fact that, you know, here they are at 10-5, like, Stefanski has to be coach of the year, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point, because I know a lot of people have wondered, who's going to be coach of the year? Because it's kind of wide open, but I think you're right.
The co-favorites right now are him and Man Campbell in Detroit.
That's a great point.
Man Campbell.
According to FanDuel, as far as the race, if you will, for are the odds for comeback player of the year. Of course, DeMar Hamlin is the favorite to win the award, minus 220. Joe Flacco is hot on his tail, plus 240. Then behind them, you got Baker Mayfield. And I know we don't care that much about, you know, Tampa Bay, and they haven't been great, but they're on track to win a division. Baker, that's a pretty cool story, Baker Mayfield. Matt Stafford and Tua. So Hamlin's probably going to win it, even though he hasn't played much this year. But, you know, he kind of – his heart stopped on the field last year. This is a weird award because how do you define it? It's like, well, however the voters to decide – to vote on it, but it's tough to say it's anybody other than him.
I mean, his comeback in life, like, he came back, like, I don't, you know, usually comeback player of the year is, oh, they had a down season. No, this guy is coming back from death, basically.
Yes.
Like, how do you beat that? How do you top that?
Yeah.
So, no, you're right.
Yeah.
And he qualifies because he's recorded two tackles this season.
Okay, sure. Okay. Yeah. They should, by the way, I honestly think they should just rename that award the Alex Smith Award. The comeback player of the year should be the Alex Smith Award. But Joe Flacco, don't you think it's probably a matter of, you know what? We've talked about expectations today. No one expects anything from me. I shouldn't even be playing. So I'm just going to go out there and sling it. And if we win, great. And if not, what do I care? Right?
No, you're right. But The numbers are ridiculous, though. This is like 368 yards passing, 374 yards pass. Like, they're not asking him to, quote unquote, be a game manager,
right,
if you will.
That's
like
right.
He's, like you said, he's out there dealing. He's slinging it out there.
Yeah. So far tonight, Joe Flacco is 3 for 4 for 71 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Joey
Flacco. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's another great story. Been a lot of great stories this year in sports. What do you think are the, what would you say, Kyle, not to put you on the spot, but top stories that come to mind, NBA stories of this year, not the season, but it's kind of wonky, but the calendar year. Obviously, Denver winning their first championship is a huge one. And I would think, obviously, we're biased here, the whole Beam thing and Kings breaking the drought has got to be one of the biggest as well.
Yeah, I think the Kings ending the playoff drought. I'm going to throw LeBron passing Kareem there as well. I think that's high up there. What else, though?
Draymond probably – it's not a happy story, but the Draymond is probably one of the biggest stories.
Yeah, and piggyback on that, John Morant.
Mm-hmm.
John Morant, the whole John Morant story. And now he's coming back and Memphis undefeated with him back, I believe. And so,
one that's quick to forget also, the second 8 seed in NBA history to make the finals last year with the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not only the 8 seed, like they were on the brink of elimination. Like they lost the opening play-in game, you know, and so their backs was against the wall.
Yeah.
And they advance. Yeah, that's true.
If DeMar DeRozan had let his daughter go to the final game of that series, the Heat would have lost. But she had to go to school or something the next day.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't there to heckle him, you know. Oh, man. It's been I would also look at, you know, player movement, trades. Like, let's not forget, you know, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Brad Beal. Like just some of the big names that have changed teams as well this year.
Yeah.
It can be up there too.
I'm glad you brought up Ja because it's, you've probably seen, I think it's social media / sports media at its worst, where a couple nights ago in New Orleans, he has a dunk and then he does a dance. That's, I think it's a New Orleans dance and involves like making a heart or something. And he's just doing this dance and people are burying him because he made a pistol with his finger. And I've watched something a million times. Like, he didn't do that, Kyle.
Yeah.
That's not what he did.
That's where media, social media, X, Twitter, like it is just, it's a cesspool. And all it takes is one person with any kind of following. And then it spreads wildfire. And so, no, you're right, man. And, so those are, you know, people who aren't in the know. And then, but you know, it's too, it's like you try to correct them and that doesn't get as much play you know, the initial story.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for being with us today from Atlanta. Get some rest. Big day for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. More. See what you can do.
We got our show tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Just an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm going to be fired up for that.
See what you can do in the meantime about, you know, DeJounte Murray and we'll compare notes. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for being with us. Keep it tuned right here to Sacktown Sports, where UC Davis basketball is next. We're back with you tomorrow. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.